Well, I think it's kind of hard to say if Rod's going to be the starter or not. Rod definitely is going to compete to be the starter. You know, he's got some competition as you get older. So to say Rod is going to be the definite starter, I can't say that because we do have some great competition at that position. Rod will start out as a starter, and that's what you want. You want to give guys a chance to compete. Rod will do everything he possibly can to win that position, and it wouldn't surprise me if he wins it. You know, I can't speak for Rod, but I would doubt it. You know, Rod's such a team guy. And if Rod felt like if he wasn't the top two guys, that he'd say, hey, I'm going to go in there and I'll be the third guy and I'll help you win football games, or the fourth guy, or whatever it would be. You know, I'll help you on special teams. If I can't help you, I'll be on IR and I'll be the best practice player you'd ever want. You know, Rod Smith is a winner. And he'll do whatever he can do to, you know, help this football team win, and that's what you're looking for.
Not just Rod, any player that's at that level, Hall of Fame, is it any tougher for a coach making those choices?
Oh, that's the toughest thing that you can possibly do. I think the hardest thing that you have to do as a coach is cut somebody who's been very productive, you know, throughout their career, and all of a sudden they fall off a cliff. And you got to tell them that their career is over. I can't think of anything tougher for a head coach, or if it's not the head coach who's ever in charge of talking to a player, to release somebody like that, because they've given you everything they've gotten. I've been on that side of the, you know, on the chair a couple times, and it's not very easy.
Going back to Javon real quick, do you worry at all that this is going to affect his career? You know, I mean, dealing with the emotions from Do you think he can just get through that?
You know, I had a situation where one of my best friends, I was driving a motorcycle and he died. You know, he died on the bike I was on. He was driving, I was a passenger, and I still think about it today. But life goes on. I mean, Javon will never, we'll always think about Darrent, we'll always think about Darrent Williams, what he meant to him, what he meant to this football team. We'll always cherish those memories, as I cherish memories with, you know, a very close friend of mine. But I definitely think he'll get over it. I mean, that's what you have to do. Life goes on. And why it happens, as I've shared with you before, I said, hey, the guy upstairs is going to take all of us someday. And some guys, I think, are lucky when they go earlier because it's a better place up there. I'm hoping it is anyhow.
Like, who would you assess the right tackle spot with? Eric Pierce, obviously, Matt coming back. He has the ability to play right. You've got Meadows, George. How would you assess Cooper, Carlisle, Ken, maybe kick out there? How would you assess them right now?
We've got some depth there. We've got some competition. You know, who's going to play what position? You never know. But, you know, with Eric playing some this year, Adam Meadows playing, with Matt going down and Cooper coming on and playing, we've got more depth than we have had, and we'll have some great competition there.
Does Chris Cooper have a real shot at starting maybe or having a chance to start a guard?
A lot of competition. Man, you keep on going down that same road all the time. God darn.
You said we only get you once.
No, like I said, if a guy starts a year before, he's going to start this year. And we're going to give him every opportunity that he can get to win that job back. But there's competition, and that's what makes this world go round.
Mike, how much, if any, did you have the same feelings for Peyton Manning finally winning one, paralleling that to when John Elway finally won his first Super Bowl? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a little bit different because Peyton not nearly as old as John was. You know, this is Peyton's first Super Bowl, and going into, you know, with John, it was his fourth Super Bowl. So I saw it as a little bit different. I saw it as a guy that had a lot of pressure, obviously. You know, Peyton, with all that he accomplished from a statistical standpoint, how many teams won, I could see it was the same pressure John had. And to see him win one was something that I thought was very special. I mean, I was very happy for him. Not only winning the game, but the way he played in those elements under those conditions was a guy that was not going to be denied. I don't know if people realize how tough it is for a quarterback, especially in a passing attack, to throw the ball that many times in those conditions and be as effective as he was.
Does that elevate him among the greats?
Oh, yes, without a question.
Like, do you have anybody who's not going to be healthy enough to start the offseason conditioning? Or is everybody kind of progressing?
You know, I think everybody will be in pretty good shape. I think everybody should start. I don't know about starting the offseason, but everybody should be ready by the first mini camp, you know, to practice full speed.
No further surgeries planned? Not for you, but for players.
Not that I know of. I think all our surgeries are out of the way right now. I'd like to get those as quick as possible.
Who are some of the guys?
Well, you know, Al Wilson, obviously, with the thumb, that was a big one. Other than that, we had some minor issues, but nothing major.
One of your biggest off-season commitments last year was to Gerard. Was he ever healthy this year?
You know, it's hard to say. I can't really speak for Gerard. I know his toes bothered him, you know, after the dislocation, you know, early or at the end of camp. And so to say he was full speed, I can't say that for sure. You'd have to ask Gerard. But I know he's hurting. How bad, I can't say exactly.
What did you say? I mean, there's been a lot said about the defensive line's play. I mean, how would you assess the play as a whole in the defensive line this year?
I'm not going to go, you know, through assessing, you know, each position. But, you know, we are 9-7. I think everybody knows. I think we're 8-point production on defense, 17th on offense. And, you know, to get to where we want to go, you know, we got to be in the top five in both areas. And, you know, the teams that have a chance to do something special are usually in that area. It's a little different this year with Indy, but they played their best football during the playoffs and at the end of the season. Their defense really stepped up and played much better than it did. And, you know, they got a couple players back. They were a little bit healthier, and they really played as a team, which was really a credit to their unit.
Mike, how long is the AFC dominance going to continue? Any theories on, besides the obvious, personnel?
Well, yeah, it's really hard to say, but can you take a look at the strength of the quarterbacks in the AFC right now and, you know, the strength of the teams, it could continue for a while.
I know that you have the option to, or at least the league will ask you whether or not you want to play on Thanksgiving. You've done it two years in a row. Will you take that option if it is presented to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to play on Thanksgiving if it's presented to us. Home or away, really doesn't matter. Maybe they give us a home game. What do you think?
Might send you to Detroit.
Yeah, that's true. That's all right.
Mike, you talked about Jake and how he wants to be starting. I mean, is the door officially closed on him coming back as a backup? That he'll definitely be starting?
No, nothing's closed. Nothing's closed.
Like, I know it's kind of a touchy subject because of what happened, but, I mean, do you feel that between Dominique and Payman, you have the answer at the other corner of the spot on the roster, or do you think you might have to bring a veteran in because of what happened?
Well, Dominic Foxworth obviously will be our starting right corner. And Carl Payman obviously has some experience at that position. You never have enough depth at the cornerback position. Obviously, we lost a great person. And, you know, I don't think I need to go into that.
Do you feel pretty good about having most of your core locked up going into free agency this year?
Yeah, it's not quite as tough as it was a year ago. So, yeah, it should be a little bit easier than it was a year ago to do the things we'd like to do.
How important is it to re-sign Michael Myers and basically two starters?
Well, you know, in fairness to them, you know, this is free agency. And, you know, they've got a market value out there, and we have to evaluate what that market value is, and we got to put our best football team together. You know, I wanted Kenoy Kennedy a few years back, you know, but I couldn't spend $4.5 million because Nick Ferguson at that time was $500,000, and Nick came in and we thought could play at a very high level. And so the tough part about free agency is putting your best football team together. So would I like them both back? Oh, you're darn right I would. Does that mean it's going to happen? No, it doesn't.
Would you be more apt, I mean, obviously with the stuff with Jake, if he does happen to leave, with Jay being a young quarterback, to try to get a veteran guy kind of as a backup just to mentor him? Or necessary?
Yeah. We're going to weigh all our options. I think common sense would be to have a veteran player behind a young rookie guy. That makes the most sense. Does it always happen that way? No, it doesn't. But yeah, that's very logical. He's doing great. I just saw him in there a few minutes ago and getting treatment, working hard, and should be ready to go. Just so you know, too, on offense, what we've done, we kind of changed things around with Tim Brewster leaving. Pat McPherson now is going to be coaching the tight ends. Mike Heimerdinger is going to be doing what he has been doing. He's going to be, working with the quarterbacks and calling plays, and Rick Dennison is still going to be the offensive coordinator, offensive line coach. Jeremy Bates is going to be coaching the wide receivers and the quarterbacks. When Mike's not working with the quarterbacks in the meeting, Jeremy will be able to take both the quarterbacks and the wide receivers, something that I've done through the years, and I kind of separating the two. And what I'm going to do with Steve Watson, have Steve come with me as associate head coach and do some of the things that Rick Smith did. Helped me in that area. Also, Troy Calhoun was kind of an assistant head coach with me and still working a number of things in the football area. So, I kind of need a guy to help me, and Steve has been a guy that I've been very close with through the years, and I think can help me in a number of different areas just besides football. And so I'm going to use Steve in that role and Jeremy Bates in that role as well. And he hasn't asked me for any advice, but I've talked to him, yeah.
Did you give him any advice on this?
No, I just gave him a call, and in fact, I gave him a call and just congratulated him for the job and told him how happy I was for him. And, I'm happy for the academy because I think they got a heck of a man. Anybody that knows Troy, you're talking about a first-class guy, a first-class man, family man. He'll be a great recruiter. He knows football inside and out. Very genuine person that any parent would feel very proud for their son to play for. So I think he'll be there for a long time, very much like Fisher.
Mike, as you look at the upcoming draft, what positions seem to be stronger than others, maybe from the first two, three rounds?
I got a few different opinions, and I think you can read about those. But until I actually look at the film, I really hate to say. Because what we're doing now is we're taking a look at every free agent, every free agent that's out there at every position. And we put guys that we think can upgrade us or guys that are the same if we lose somebody in free agency, and we put a value on where they're at. And then at the end of free agency, you kind of get an idea going in the draft what area or what direction you should go into. And, sometimes, like you mentioned, now you start looking at where maybe the depth of the draft is. Is it at defensive line? Is it secondary? Is it offensive line? And until I look at it, I really don't know for sure.
Do you weigh the draft and the strengths and weaknesses? How much do you weigh the combine and what they do there versus what you see on film?
I think the combine is just something added. I always look at how a player plays, and I never really look at all those speeds and weights. Now, can a guy help himself? Yeah, he can help himself, but he can't hurt himself. Because a lot of those guys really, they work out for the combine. They get with a coach, they work for 2 months and all these drills, but they can't play football. But they do a great job running the 40-yard dash and all the agility drills and things along those lines. But when it comes to playing, they're not natural. So, through the years, we've gotten away from that.
Yeah, how tough is that, though? I mean, you probably see a lot of guys in the combine run 4.2 or whatever they're on.
Like I said, it helps them. If a guy can run a 4.3 40, and you like the way he plays corner, he's got a chance to be something special. But if a guy plays well and he runs a 4.6 40, and maybe sometime through his college career he ran a 4.4, you have to weigh the two. Can the guy run? Can he run at the level that it takes to be a starting corner in the National Football League? The thing that I think is a great thing for me going to the combine is our coaches sitting down and talking to all these guys. Each coach talks at a minimum 15 minutes to a half hour, kind of get a feel of what type of guy they're dealing with. The scouts already have talked to these guys and had some great conversations, but for the coaches to sit down and kind of get a feel of the type of people they're talking to, I think has been a big plus for us through the years.
The adjustments you made on the offensive staff, have you changed here?
No, I'm still doing what I normally do. I'm not really sure what that is, but don't tell anybody because it's a good secret. No, I'm going to do the same thing I have done, try to, you know, I enjoy football, so I'm always going to be involved in the football phases. And the thing we didn't talk about is Scott O'Brien. You know, he's going to be our special teams coach, and Ryan Sloak will help him. And Ronnie Bradford, who always wanted to coach his secondary, is going to be assistant defensive back coach. And he's always wanted to be a defensive back coach, coordinator in the league, and eventually a head coach. And I thought this was the right time to do it. You know, Ronnie's done a great job for us, but I've got a guy in Scott who's done special teams for a lot of years, and I think he'll bring a lot to our table.
You talked about your structure on offense a little bit. How's it going to work with, on defense with Bates and Sloak? How are they going to kind of share a load there? I mean, Bates,
same thing as I think Rick Dennison and Mike Heimernier do. I mean, as many good coaches you can get, the better off you're going to be. And you got guys, you know, Jim Bates has been a coordinator, been an assistant head coach, and Bob Sloak has been a coordinator on a, I don't know, 9-10 years. And so, you know, these guys have done it. You know, these guys aren't young kids just trying to make their mark. These guys have been there, or they've done that, and they're going to try to put the best scheme that they possibly can together and kind of go from there.
You mentioned O'Brien. What does he bring to the table? And obviously special teams is a big issue this season, coverage, return game. What do you think he brings different to the table?
He's got experience. You know, he's been doing it for a long time. A lot of people that he's worked for say he's the best, one of the best coaches they've ever had. I talked to a number of head coaches that say he's the guy. So I was very impressed with not only his knowledge for special teams, but his knowledge for personnel across the league. But he's got a great background in that area, and it doesn't take a lot to read on him and figure that out, read about him and figure that out.
Well, you can't find him all the time, I know, but I mean, what do you put emphasis on finding a return guy?
You're always trying to find the return guy. We had Devin Hester, you know, projected in the second round, but you don't always get those guys. Now you go back and you say, hey, should you got him in the first round? Should you kept your second pick, you know, your trades? You can always second guess yourself. But, you know, that's the nature of the game, you know, nature of the this game that we're in. But I felt very good about what we got last year. You know, our first round, second round, how we traded. We got Javon, and you take a look at Tony, and you say, hey, you know, you Brandon Marshall, and you talk Esslinger, you talk about, you know, Cooper, and you feel pretty good about where we're at. And so hopefully we can have one of those drafts this year. If you have a couple of those drafts back-to-back, you can get in the hunt pretty quick.
Does the way Quincy did the last couple of games change your thinking at all? He seemed to kind of progress as he was in there a little bit.
Yeah, he did pretty good in the last couple of games. We got a chance to get him in early and watch him compete for the wide receiver position. And maybe not only can he help us on kickoff returns, but maybe he can help us as a wide receiver, you know, because he's an early second-round draft choice who's played a lot of games and been productive, and he looked very good in our camp. So hopefully he's more than just a returner.
You talked a lot about the games that, you know, the critical games between first and second-year players make. What specifically on Cutler, I mean, do you want to see him do this offseason, whether it be in the weight room, film room? I mean, I'm sure you've sat and talked to him. I mean, what do you want to see him kind of attack on a personal level in the next couple of months?
Well, what a quarterback has to do, he's got to attack everything. You know, he's always been a weightlifter. He's always been a workout warrior. One of the reasons why, you know, he bench pressed 225 pounds 28 times. You know, obviously he spent a lot of time in the weight room, so he's a workout guy. He always stays in good shape. But it'll be a lot of film study. It'll be a lot of timing with the quarterbacks and the receivers out on the field in the off-season program. And you got to have guys that want to do it. You want to have guys that it's part of their life, that not winning the Super Bowl is unacceptable to them. And with that type of mindset, then you got a guy that'll get those other guys to do the little things that they should do to get them over the hump.
A couple of players said that they rarely have seen a guy grow as much within a season as Brandon did from the beginning to the end. Do you concur with that, the way he came on towards the end of the season?
What the questions you've asked, this has got to be your 13th story for the next... Wow. That's good, though. That's good. Yes, yes, no. Brandon really made some strides. Brandon, coming from Central Florida, very talented, very big kid. Once he got hurt, it really sent him back in his conditioning, where in the preseason, I think every player or every coach could see this guy was making some strides. And then when he got hurt, really set him back and really didn't know how to work to get back in shape. And then when he did get back in shape, you could see his, you know, potential just soar. So hopefully he does the little things the right way in the off season, because the sky's the limit relative to talent. But you never know what makes up somebody's heart and their head, and that's what usually separates them. Okay, take care, guys.